I've noticed Jill Biden is doing more appearances for Joe. That seems a little worrisome. I mean, she's popping up more and more. Seems like for every time Joe Biden has an event where he seems to be sundowning, Jill Biden pops up a couple of times in order to fill in for him. Good morning. I am Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1. We'll talk about some of those election results, some surprises. Democrats, it is becoming more and more clear. It should become more clear, at least to what I will call normal Democrat voters. Those that aren't crazy. Your party is being taken over by crazies. Another defeat of a longtime standard Democrat member of Congress, this time from Missouri, tossed out by a Marxist left-wing Ocasio-Cortez-style Black Lives Matter activist. You know, defund the police. She says, if I get elected, I'm going to continue protesting out in the streets, be out there, you know, throwing bottles at police and all the things protesters do. And the people of St. Louis said, yes, as Democrats, that's who better represents us. And of course, Kim Gardner, overwhelmingly, despite obvious corruption, Democrats said, yes, that's who we want to be in charge of law and order. In St. Louis as well. So quite a day. St. Louis, can we not just carve it out? And can we give it to Illinois?
Did St. Louis really surprise you with some of these decisions, though?
No.
Yeah.
I just carve them out. Give them to Illinois. I mean, really.
Yeah.
I'm sure we could convince them to take... We'll just reroute the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just reroute it so it carve it around the east side of St. Louis and then or the west side of St. Louis, and then that can just be Illinois. I'd be perfectly fine with that. Be perfectly fine with it.
There you go. Well, Nicole Galloway is the winner of the Democratic primary for governor of Missouri. The state auditor quickly ran away with the vote when the polls closed Tuesday evening against her Democratic challengers. Governor Parson winning handily in the Republican primary as well, setting up a showdown for the general election come November. Both candidates in their speeches last night quick to criticize the other candidate, so it should be a really fun next couple of months. A couple of Republican primaries for state Senate go right down to the wire. Mike Moon getting 52% of the vote in the 29th district, beating David Cole. In the race for District 33, it was even tighter. Carla Esslinger edging out Robert Ross by just 142 votes. That's out of more than 25,000 cast. Van Kelly came in a distant third. Cori Bush, one-time homeless woman who led protests following a white police officer's fatal shooting of a black 18-year-old in Ferguson, has ousted longtime Representative William Lacey Clay in Missouri's Democratic primary. Bush's supporters said the protests over George Floyd's death and outrage over racial injustice finally pushed her over the edge. How historic is her win? Well, Missouri's first congressional district has been represented by either Clay or his father for a half century. And that is the latest news.
What a shock for him.
Yeah, can you believe that?
I mean, you would think they would do internal polling and have some sense, but I don't know, maybe not.
Maybe not.
I don't have any inside info on that one, but...
Wow.
I mean, they're saying this is sort of like the Ocasio-Cortez deal. You know, you get this long-time member of Congress where they don't even really ever have to campaign because they're just so entrenched and get reelected over and over again. And then you get some, you know, left-wing activist that gets in there, and then people are like, yeah... And it's St. Louis. I mean, so that she's going to win election.
And the same with Kim Gardner. She's going to win,
too. Absolutely, Because it is a one-party system in St. Louis. They just will not vote in those areas for anybody unless they are a Democrat.
Uh-huh.
And all right.
There you have it.
Thank you very much. Uh-huh. KTTS First Alert Forecast. Sunny, a high near 80 today, 62 for a low. Tonight, a slight chance of showers, storms. Early tomorrow with a high of 84 and showers, thunderstorms possible Friday with a high of 86. It's 55 and clear. Now, one of the issues that was up in Springfield, the only issue actually in Springfield, I love this, payday lenders. And whether or not to allow Springfield to take $5,000 a year from short-term lenders. or 2,500 if they register halfway through the year. The measure was said to make Shorelanders comply with city rules. Yeah. And the money will be used to provide alternatives to short-term lenders, help people get out of debt, and educate the community about it. It's a money grab. It's money is what it is. But here's what I just love about it. Because this is just absolute typical government, and this is something the city pushed. The people voted for it. By the way, this is socialism. This is utilizing the government's power in order to tell businesses how to conduct themselves. The whole sales pitch on these payday lenders is that they take advantage of the financially insecure, right? People that have no other option. That it's cruel that they charge them so much in order to borrow money. Now, most of you understand that businesses that pay taxes aren't actually the business paying the tax, because the business isn't a part. Where does the business, any business, get its money? It's from its customers. That's where their money comes from. So, for example, let's say a restaurant. Who pays their electric bill? Well, the restaurant does. No, you do. You pay it. When you go in there and you give them money in exchange for a service and product. And, of course, the business's goal is to have more money come in than's going out. And you know, that money that comes in from the customer is the money that is used when they write checks for utilities, when they write checks for payroll, when they write checks for any sort of medical requirements, when they write checks for any sort of government regulation, when they write checks for taxes, all of that, that money comes from the consumer. So every time you buy ham and eggs at a restaurant, you're paying all those bills for them. And then hopefully for the business owner, they'll have a little bit left over for themselves. So that being said, who is ultimately going to pay this $5,000 annual fee on the short-term lenders? The customer, right? The person who utilizes their service. So the city of Springfield presents payday lenders as being awful because people who can't afford to take out the loans are they have no other option, and so they are forced into their last option of taking these loans, and they have to pay these exorbitant fees, and it's just wrong and it's unfair. And now, because of this, they're going to have to pay even more. So as is generally the case, the very people who are supposed to be the victims, government steps in and does them even more harm. So all you folks out there who rely or may in the future rely on a payday lender, know that you will now get to pay a portion of a $5,000 annual fee to the city of Springfield. Another brilliant move. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. I've got to talk about some of these other races here and give some thoughts locally. But and of course, the government expansion of Medicaid in Missouri happened. It didn't happen by as wide of a margin. I thought it might happen by as much as 60% because human beings, more and more here in the United States, no matter how many times government proves to be the most inefficient, most expensive entity to call the shots for anything, people continue to say, yes, we need government to be involved. It's just an amazing. And you'll find people that vote for government to take over certain things or to expand in certain areas, that if you poll those very same people, they'll generally tell you that they don't have faith in government. They don't have faith in members of Congress. You know, yet that's who they put these decisions in the hands of. It's just amazing to me what we do to ourselves as human beings. But this payday thing in Springfield, voting, you know, and it's not going to be a huge financial burden on the people who take out the payday loans, but they are the ones who are going to pay it. And this idea that these people are financial victims, and yet the answer to this is, oh, we're going to make them pay even more now to borrow payday loans? I mean, it's just, what was the breakdown of the vote on that? Let's see. I saw it earlier. It drives me nuts when there are news, like there'll be an entire news story about a particular issue. This, more than 56% of voters vote. Yeah, that sounds about right. So I'll see a story. There was one. It was a pretty contentious Senate race in Kansas between a former attorney general some others. And the former attorney general, he's, you know, he worried the establishment. Oh, he's a little too radical, so they were just really worried that he would get involved, and Trump wasn't backing the establishment guy. He was kind of staying out of it and everything. So there's a whole article about how the who won, and it wasn't the guy that they were afraid of, but it doesn't even say how much, what was the breakdown. It drives me nuts, these stories. It'd be entire stories, they don't say how, what the percentage. Anyway, okay, so Amendment 2, of course, this is the expansion of Medicaid, which originally, and it's like all government programs, they tell you, oh, it's just to help those that absolutely have no other option, and then it creeps. You know, well, we need to expand it to these people. We need to expand it to these people. We need to expand it to these people. And it's the creep to try and get us to full-blown government-run health care. And it passed 672,967 to 580,809. I think that broke, yeah, it's 53% to 47%. Not surprised by that. Like I said, I thought it could be as high as 60% that would vote for it. You have a high percentage of the voting population in Democrat-run cities, and those are folks that have been more conditioned to believe that government should take care of them, and that that's the way to the great utopia. And so any opportunity they have to absolve themselves of taking care of themselves and to instead have government force other people to do it for them, they jump at the opportunity. And listen, Lyndon Johnson, now he saw it through the lens of race. He specifically targeted the African-American community. But when it came to offering up government programs specifically to the African-American community, he said they'll vote Democrat forever once I get them hooked on this stuff. And it's not just that. That's just who he focused on. But people are that way in general. If you convince people to become addicted to something, addicted to relying on somebody else to provide them income or provide them the promise of health care, then not only will they crave it, but they will be indignant at the idea that they should take care of themselves. They feel entitled to it. And you are the greedy one if you don't want to take care of them. And so you get those cultural centers in which you have a disproportionately high number of people in one capacity or another that become reliant on or even feel as if that is, they are entitled to it. You can forget about them voting against this sort of thing. Nicole Galloway, of course, getting the majority of votes on the Democrat side. She'll take on Parson. He got 75% of the vote. Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, I think it says 74. This print off, the percentages are very, 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 very hard to see. They're very light. The actual number count is darkened in, but all right. So let's go to some of those that we talked about yesterday. The Mike Moon coal race. Mike Moon, you heard Don Luzader mention that he won that, which means he will be the next state senator for that district, given that it's just, with Republicans, that's a Republican stronghold. He is going to be, if you are constitutionally minded, If you want someone who isn't going to do whatever the party tells them to do, but instead is going to do what he feels is the right thing to do and the most constitutional thing to do, Mike Moon is a great win for the state of Missouri, without question. That is a tremendous victory. And Mike Moon, one aside from his beliefs, his motivations, he really honestly truly is a citizen legislator. And by that I mean he's not a guy who, like a lot of folks, they grow up, they go to college, they take political science courses, they intern for lawmakers because they have this vision of a path of working in politics. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but that's how a tremendous number of people that make their way into higher office get there. It was a long-term plan, and oftentimes that involves quote unquote waiting your turn. You want to run for office, and you know, if you get in there and then there's another office and the party says, now wait, no, this is the appointed one over here, but if you wait in 4 years, this is going to open up over here and we'll support you there. And you know, I don't want to say most, but I think most to some degree fall in somewhere into that area. Mike Moon is not that guy at all. He's a farmer who still farms. And he is a citizen who just has great convictions about what is right and what is wrong and what's constitutional. And I'm telling you, if you ever want to talk to somebody who's going to be straight up and honest about even his own party, he's going to be that guy. And so he may not be the best win. In fact, I could tell you he's not a win for the Republican Party, but he is a win for voters and Republicans who want more constitutionally minded individuals. The other race I had mentioned yesterday specifically was in the 130th, and that's where you had Bishop Davidson, Macy Mitchell, and Sam Snyder. Sam Snyder is the individual that didn't really have much of a presence in the race. Bishop Davidson and Macy Mitchell, both of these individuals, they really campaigned hard out there. There was a lot of signage, a lot of social media activity, a lot of talking to people, you know, and they may have done it in different ways, but that was a race where you had two of the three individuals really out there campaigning and campaigning hard, as best I could tell anyhow, just as an outside observer. And Bishop Davidson ended up winning 2,859 votes over Macy Mitchell's 2,699. So not a huge gap there. And then Sam Snyder came in 745. We're going to take a break, and then I'll just mention a couple others. One that caught me off guard. I wasn't paying a great deal of attention to it for a number of reasons, but one of the reasons is because I made assumptions about who would win that, and I was wrong on that, and it surprises me. I'm going to be interested to get whatever sort of background information I can, just for my own curiosity as to what happened with that one. We're going to take a quick break. We'll continue on. The Queen City Motors talk and text line 447-KSGF. I'm Nick Reed on Springfield's Talk 104.1. Someone mentioned they didn't hear the tally or the breakdown of the Amendment 2 vote. That broke down to 53-47. So you had 672,967 in favor of, 590,809 against. One of the races that I did not pay a whole lot of attention to because I just made assumptions, I suppose, that Sonia Anderson would definitely win that Greene County Commissioner position, and she did not. In fact, she lost by 9 percentage points to Rusty McLaughlin. He had 54.31% of the vote. She had 45.69% of the vote. And vote totals, he had 8,488, and she had 7,141. So, you know, when you look at the numbers themselves, it's not a massive difference, you know, that you're talking about here. But, I mean, percentage-wise, it is. Now, again, she's very high profile, and I know she was out there doing a great deal of campaigning, and this was something that, you know, I mean, it has been planned for a while that she would be running for this, and I just assumed, well, she'll get it. But that wasn't the case. Now, that being said, Rusty McLaughlin, not knowing a lot about him, I do know that he is active with both the Homebuilders Association of Missouri and the HBA of Greater Springfield, and that is a very, very influential. There's lots of friends within that, and so, you know, that you've got a huge amount of built-in support that is already going to be there. Beyond that, I don't know if there was something else going on there or what the situation was, but that one just caught me by surprise. Was not expecting that. I'll mention, too, some that aren't necessarily top of mind for you, but we did have a tremendous amount of feedback yesterday. Our open lines on Election Day, sponsored by Delta Roofing, on the Greene County Assessor and Brent Johnson. We had more feedback on him of support than any other candidate for any other race, and he did win that 38.12%. The second place, Conan Doherty, Joe Durnall at 34.81%, and then third place, Conan Doherty at 27.07%. And so Brent Johnson did get that. And I'm trying to think if there was anyone else off the top of my head that really stand. I can't necessarily. There was that state Senate race in which two of the candidates made the big brouhaha, claiming that that there was a flyer sent out that was designed to make it look like the female candidate in an X-ray had a male appendage, which to me was absolute. It's the sort of thing that makes me not like certain races, because I think, let's grow up. Well, she's the one who ended up winning that race. So the two that were the other two candidates, I know here at least, they were spending, or there were a great number of ads for the two of them, but she's the one who ended up winning that, and that's to the central part of the more central part of the state Senate district there, over to the east of us in Springfield. So that's a basic rundown. Now, I do want to talk about this race that was mentioned, and it's getting national coverage. U.S. Representative William Lacey Clay, his 20-year hold on Missouri's 1st Congressional District, lost to a left-wing Marxist, an Ocasio-Cortez style. I'm telling you, Democrats out there, your party, as you have known it, is gone. I mean, it may be in just the very last desperate grasp of control, but you are on your way, if not fully there, to the party of Ocasio-Cortez. That is the ideology, that is the radical nature that is gaining ground in the Democrat Party, not losing it. Here's Don Luzader with the latest traffic. I'm Nick Reed, Springfield's Talk 104.1. Hey, everyone, it's Don Luzader with the latest news update.
And good morning, Nicole Galloway, the winner of the Democratic primary for governor of Missouri. The state auditor quickly ran away with the vote in the Democratic primary when the polls closed Tuesday evening. Governor Parson won the Republican primary by an overwhelming margin, setting up a showdown for the general election come November. Missouri has voted to expand Medicaid health care coverage, voters approving a constitutional amendment. That's Amendment 2 to expand the government health insurance program to thousands of more low-income adults. Missouri is the 38th state to approve Medicaid expansion under former President Obama's federal health care law. Missouri Republicans fought efforts to increase eligibility for the program for years, which pushed supporters to put it to a public vote. And the Springfield Greene County Health Department reporting 41 additional cases of COVID-19 on Tuesday. The county says it's up to 1,327 cases. That's since the pandemic began. 540 of those cases are active. And that is the latest news.
The K KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks Home Improvements. Discounts for veterans, firefighters, police officers, and EMTs. Sunny, high near 80. Today, 62 for a low. Tonight, a slight chance of showers, storms early tomorrow. Otherwise, mostly sunny with a high of 84. And Friday, showers, thunderstorms possible with a high of 86. 55. I mean, it's just that nice, crisp weather. Elite Outdoor Innovations. Man, how wonderful. You ever flip through a magazine? Flip through a magazine and you see these backyards that you think, man, that is insanely awesome. If I had a backyard like that, people would talk about how awesome my backyard is. You can have that. Custom design for you. Elite Outdoor Innovations. This is what they do. And they are very, very, very good at it. And they're very, very particular. Perfectionist, some might say. And while that perfectionism may be annoyance to some, for you, having them design, build, and even maintain, if you'd like, your outdoor setting, that's exactly what you want. So give them a call. Their contact info is at EliteOutdoorInnovations.com. And this doesn't have to be for your home. Perhaps you've got a little courtyard for your church or your business, and you would love for it to instead just be wasted space, a place that people could enjoy themselves or one another. EliteOutdoorInnovations.com. That's EliteOutdoorInnovations.com. Someone asked about Billy. This is the Queen City Motors talk and text line. How many voted against Billy Long? So the 7th Congressional fell as follows. First place with 66% of the vote, Billy Long. He had a total of 69,319 votes. Second place came in at 11.15. That was Eric Harleman with 11,688 votes. Then Kevin Van Story at 10% with 10,482 votes. Then you had Steve Chetnik with 7.05%, which was 7,393 votes. And then finally Camille Lombardi Olive, who had 5.69% of the vote, which was 5,966. So Billy Long ultimately had 2/3 of the vote, and then collectively the other 1, 2, 3, 4 candidates had roughly 1/3 of the vote. Let's go to Randy in Buffalo. Randy, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nick. Long time.
Yeah, I know. It's been a really long time. Several years, I'd say.
Yeah, I've been in St. Louis, but I'm working down here in Springfield.
Are you living in St. Louis now?
Yeah, O'Fallon area.
Oh, okay. What, are you insane? O'Fallon, okay. That's
yeah.
See, I was talking earlier. We need to reroute the Mississippi around the west side of St. Louis and just let Illinois have it.
Yeah, really? Yeah, I live within 2 blocks of 5 cops, so I'm pretty safe.
Well,
but, the reason I called was about Amendment 2.
Yes.
A lot of people vote for their own personal interest.
Yeah.
Now, this amendment, since it passed, will actually benefit me, but I voted against it because I don't think it's the right thing for the state of Missouri or the people of Missouri. It's just another way for government to control our lives and to steal our money. And
yeah,
it's going to benefit me, but I voted against it. I mean, and another issue I want to bring up is Democrats. Democrats are lemmings. All of them are lemmings. They only follow the party line. I like people like Mike Moon and Lindsey Graham. I love Lindsey Graham. I wish he was our senator in some
now,
ways.
And for if I remember correctly, you're a union guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, but we take care of our own.
Right.
We built a clinic in St. Louis for our members. We're getting ready to build another one in Kansas City for our members.
Let me ask. It's a little off the beaten path, but union. So obviously you are around and talk with union guys a lot. What is the, if there is one, the sense when it comes to Trump?
I can tell you that. Okay. A lot of union members, believe it or not, are conservative.
Yeah, I believe it.
I am surprised that they are, but they are, because we work hard. I mean, come on. We're out there busting our ass every day to make a living and to improve our lives and the lives of our families.
So do you get the sense that, because you, I'm sure, know this, traditionally speaking, unions, you know, I mean, they've promoted, they've supported Democrats. They've been pretty vocal in that. That's where a lot of the money goes. Do you sense that that you've got union members that are more Trump than, you know, once upon a time, or more Republican, or, you know, those aren't necessarily one and the same, but that given how far left the Democrat Party's going and Trump being not a traditional Republican, that some of those union voters that maybe vote Democrat in the past are Trump people now, and maybe still vote Democrat otherwise, but they're Trump people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that is true. Our leadership tends to be more Democratic than
right.
the membership.
Yeah, yeah.
And the one good thing about the Carpenters is we try to avoid social issues. We focus just on our trade issues.
Well, it seems to make sense. I mean,
you know, we think about our workers and what's best for them instead of, you know, what's best for AOC.
Well, I've always wondered, right, in police unions, that's a whole different ball of wax, but, you know, at some point, when it comes to certain unions in particular, the leadership's consistency in backing the Democrat Party is so far removed from the workers that it becomes, I think anyway, some of the workers probably would start go, you're actively working against our interests. This isn't just a difference of opinion at this point, but you're wanting to support someone. And if at some point, and maybe this is already happening, that members are speaking up and saying, listen, we have got to, at the very least, not endorse this person. If we want to stay out of it, fine, but we got to stop endorsing these Democrats that are trying to destroy our livelihoods.
Yeah, the police union is not as bad as the teachers union. The teachers union is the worst. I mean, when they spend years and thousands of dollars defending a pedophile to keep their job and their, you know, and keep them out of jail is stupid.
Well, and that's where some of the lawsuits.
Those are the people you throw under the bus and say they're not part of our union.
Yeah, and that's where some of the court challenges have come in from teachers that do not want to have to pay dues for a union that that operates in that manner. So we've run out. Hey, Randy, I got to go here, but I really appreciate you calling in. It's great to hear from you, and it's good to have you back in the area. Sorry that you're so, you know, in the St. Louis area now.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
All right, take care, sir.
I'm glad your life is doing well.
Yeah, it is. Thank you very much. Springfield's Talk 104.1. Here is traffic with Don Luzader. I'm Nick Reed. It was mentioned in our Facebook Live feed, you know, where you can go in and make comments. Holly Ryder winning the primary. Holly Ryder, this is for the Senate. She has been an assemblywoman. You may recognize her name and associated with her nonstop push for prescription drug monitoring program. She lives on the other side of the state. I think she's from the Poplar Bluff area, if not Poplar Bluff. And she was taking on another Republican challenger. And I don't know a lot about the race itself, although I will tell you what one person who was in that area, you know, who was trying to decide for whom to vote between Ryder and the gal who was challenging her for this, you know, to run on the Republican ticket. And the person relayed to me that they were going to vote against Ryder, but then they saw that the gal who challenged Ryder voted against allowing concealed carry on college campuses, and so that flipped him back over to Ryder. So it was for this person seemingly a lesser of two evils to some degree. And like I said, she has been just obsessed with the prescription drug monitoring program. It's just another Republican that wants to expand government and be more intrusive. And, the Republican Party has just got in Missouri to decide which direction it wants to go. And as it stands now, a majority, or at least it appears to be run by those that are for higher taxes and bigger government. But, Mike Moon making his way into the state Senate, that's going to help at least to some degree. Now, Cori Bush, former homeless gal who got into all the Ferguson rioting, decided to run for Congress. Now, she's ran against Representative William Lacey Clay once before, didn't win. This time she did. She was actually outspending him, and she won. This is a seat that Clay held for 20 years. His dad held it for 30. He's got 50 years of the Clay family getting elected into that seat. This is a sort of Ocasio-Cortez style situation. You get a radical leftist Marxist that is becoming more and more prevalent in the Democrat Party and is ousting the old Democrat. I'm telling you, folks. Now, Clay, incidentally, was not a moderate. William Lacey Clay is the guy that hung up a painting in the U.S. Capitol depicting law enforcement as pigs. That's who this guy is. But for Democrats in the St. Louis area, that wasn't radical enough. That wasn't anti-police enough. So they ousted him. And now Cori Bush, she will be, I find it very, very hard to believe that Republicans could mount any sort of challenge in that district. I mean, this is what St. Louis has become, and this is what the Democrat Party has become. You know, for all of the talk and the coverage and the discussion of the Republican Party and who's in charge and what's the Republican Party become, whatever the options are, they are a heck of a lot better than what the Democrat Party's becoming. I mean, look at this. You have Democrat voters, and I know right now I'm talking to some Democrats that do not fall into this category. And that's what I'm talking about here. You have got to, I don't know what you're going to do. I mean, I fully understand you're not going to start voting Republican. But listen, if you continue to support this part, you are supporting something that you are not. I believe that most Democrats, I'd say over the age of 40, are not anti all law enforcement. Are not individuals who think that you should burn down buildings and attack police officers and burn down homes and businesses of minorities because you don't like the way things go. I have to believe that most Democrats over the age of 40, that is not who you are. You're the Bill Clinton Democrat. I can tell you this, if you are a Democrat who was comfortable with the party back in the 90s, then there is a very large chunk of the Republican Party that is pretty much that today. You will be much more at home with the Republican Party. Now, not the Ted Cruz's and the Rand Paul's and the Donald Trump's, but the establishment Republican Party today is more in line with the Bill Clinton Democrat Party of the 90s than where the Democrat Party is headed today. Your party is being taken over by angry people that simply want to punish. Punish and destroy. These are the sorts of people with the types of mindsets that were never, that this is why the country, the United States of America, was set up in order to get away from people like this. people who, you know, get in for the purposes of vengeance and want to use their power in order to punish people who think differently than they do. Yet these are the folks that are calling the shots in your party today. And, you know, it's easy for me to say, well, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. I'm not saying it's easy to watch a party that you have long adhered to and been loyal to and grown up voting in to see that it is no longer that. And I have to believe that this insane, radical Marxist, you know how many people in this country have died in order to make sure that that ideology did not take over our country? Many of you right now who vote Democrat have probably family members, maybe parents or grandparents, who lost their lives making sure that people with that ideology did not end up taking over this country. Now, they always thought it would be by force, but they're doing it at the ballot box in certain portions of the country today. And unfortunately, what's happening is the Democrat Party, you know, you can say, well, I mean, yeah, you get some radical district in New York and a radical district over here and you know, this radical district in St. Louis. I mean, that isn't a representation of all Democrats. The problem is the Democrat Party gives these people positions of power. They don't brush them aside. They don't say, well, that doesn't represent us. They put them on committees. They put them out there as the face of the party. They are having them direct the party. I mean, it is a shame, we're getting to the point that untold number of Americans perhaps have died needlessly, in vain, because the ideology they gave their lives to prevent from coming into this country is now taking over the Democrat Party. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Guess what, everyone? It's Wednesday. Coming up in the next hour, everyone's favorite D. Wampler is going to be joining us. Perhaps we'll talk birds and movies and candy and popcorn and, I don't know, murders and rapists. There's a whole spectrum of things that we get with D. Wampler. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed. Springfield's Talk 104.1.